Welcome back, everybody, and welcome if you're just joining us. We've had a challenging discussion today. I want to thank my friend, although we vehemently disagree sometimes, CJ from Stoughton, from calling in. He also shared some data on the text line that said, according to the Network Contagion Research Institute, place I had never heard of before, 59% of self-identifying liberals said that destroying Tesla dealerships in protest is, quote, partially acceptable, end quote. Well, I'm just going to say this. All of the data that I just read to you was about people dying, actual violence. It's one thing to conceive of something. It's another to ask a question in the way that elicits this sort of a response. By the way, I did a little digging on the Network Contagion Research Institute during the break. And the Cato Institute, again here, which is a libertarian right-leaning organization, has roundly criticized the NCRI as making remarkably basic errors in its methodology and basically not having anything peer-reviewed, not making their data public. All sorts of data collection errors. I'll just tell you that question itself, self-identifying liberals said destroying Tesla dealerships in protest is partially acceptable. You can skew something by asking a survey question in a particular way. You know what I'm saying? Whew. Anyways, Jim, I wanted to give you the opportunity to just give some closing thoughts
here. Absolutely. I want to follow up on the reporting that you just did before the last break on this notion that our attorney general, again, the chief federal law enforcement officer for the United States of America, plainly with her imprimatur, with her okay, has scrubbed, removed from access on the publicly available line for the Department of Justice, a report. Unlike what CJ has just reported, you've got it just right. Those reports from the FBI on the Department of Justice are not polls. The Department of Justice does not take those kinds of polls and publish them. It reports on criminal activity. It reports on things that happen in America. That's been the way it's been for the last, I've worked for 9 different attorneys general that entire period of time. When the government, and in this case, the attorney general, removes a report, she's not removing something related to a survey. She's removing something that reports on what the reality is in America, what has happened in our nation, and the nature of this kind of conduct. And again, you and I both know as trial attorneys, when you eliminate something, what are you also saying? I don't want
anybody to know
to
this.
See this, right?
Yeah.
And that in and of itself acknowledges that you've got a problem. And that the reality of the real world out there does not support the position you're taking publicly. I once again, as I often do, say shame on the Attorney General of the United States of America for doing this.
Couple of things. The big picture here is that basically Trump is picking winners and losers in the media space. And those that align themselves with Trump and agree to censor as Trump likes are going to get mergers approved, they're going to have their licenses protected, and those that don't, won't. That is the government trying to control what you can read, what you know, what access to facts you are, and that's supported by the DOJ deleting the study that we just talked about, that talked about actual acts of violence, not some hypothetical state where maybe I might do something. But to be clear, any kind of violence, property destruction, is bad. But political violence is a term that seems to suggest some kind of moral distinction between violence against politicians and violence by politicians. It is simply not fair, nor accurate, nor based in any reputable peer-reviewed data analysis to say that the left wing is more extremist, producing more acts of violence than the right is. That's false. But it's also, to a degree, beside the point. In American politics, we have sides. There's no use pretending that we don't, but we take up these sides and these arguments because we actually are supposed to have a shared project to further our democracy, to better opportunities, to see more equity and equality. I can handle losing an argument or an election, but what I can't handle is when hate and bigotry is defended as good and righteous when someone who peddled and profiteered from hate and bigotry is lauded as a national hero? I can handle losing an election and an argument because I know that there will be another election. There will be another argument. But the violence against Mr. Kirk, the violence against the Minnesota legislator, Melissa Hortman, against Mr. Pelosi, against judges' children, against liberals, and against conservatives alike, imperils our shared project and our shared purpose. And we should call it all out repeatedly. But our shared project of democracy is not helped by acting like hate speech isn't hateful or that bigotry isn't bigotry. I've quoted this a number of times on my show. It's from Robert Jones Jr. We can disagree and we can still love each other. Unless and until your disagreement is rooted in my oppression and the denial of my humanity and the right to exist. So I ask you, listener, whether you agree or disagree with me, does our disagreement, does your set of beliefs require the stripping of rights and the denial of humanity, the oppression of people that you disagree with? Because if it does, might you need to look in the mirror a little bit harder? Might we need to ask more and better of Donald Trump and the Republican Party today? We must all be able to speak and to speak safely, because unless all of us are safe, not a single one of us actually is. Thanks to Jim Santel and all of you. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together.